Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
All right. Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show On the Mark. Mark Lawrence here. Mr. Joe McGranahan. Let me get his resume out here. It's
Put it on my microphone instead, will you? Thank you.
A couple of pages long. It says he's mayor of Shamokin. Oh, he crossed out everything else. So I'm not supposed to read all the rest of it. He crossed it all out.
No, I didn't cross it all out. But you don't need to read the rest
of it. And you left Papa at the bottom. Okay,
I never touched that sheet. You crossed it off.
No, I didn't either.
In any event, good morning.
Yeah, welcome aboard, buddy.
It's good to be here. Good to see you. So the big news, of course, from yesterday is it rained.
Okay.
Unless you want to talk politics.
Thank you and good night, everyone. Yeah, I brought the rain numbers. We're only 6 inches above normal. All this rain, and we're only 4 inches above normal so far year to date. So that's all it added up to. But the caveat is that you were supposed to get some snow in January, February, March, and we didn't.
We got sleet.
Well, that doesn't
count. Frozen precipitation.
Yeah, that would only be an eighth of an inch at the very most of precipitation. So anyway, you normally pick up a little bit less than an inch of rain during those months, and we didn't get any. And so we're 4 inches above normal for year to date. So we have 24 inches of rain so far this year. Normally we'd have 20 by this time. So we're only 4 inches above normal. But the key is that that 4 inches has fallen in the past 2 months. So the previous 3 months were abnormal with little precipitation, and then we are above normal now. So
I know is I picked a good year to plant grass.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Growing. Oh, my gosh, it would be happy. It does want some sun.
Right, but it gets some sun.
A little bit.
A little bit comes out.
Yeah, you outside. Oh, that's some sun.
That's some sun.
It would be nice to have more of it.
We had a little bit yesterday morning. It was sunny for a while, then it went away.
Well, and what's today?
Today it's cloudy and looks like it's going to storm any minute outside.
Okay. Tomorrow
sunny. Hence the flash flood
Saturday
mornings.
Sunny. Sunday mostly cloudy, but Monday partly sunny.
All right.
Your grass will be happy.
The weather is moderating a bit.
I don't quite read that in there, but okay. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. We don't even agree on the weather. That's the funny part.
No, we don't.
Anyway, On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. And let me please tell you about the Hometown Pharmacies. They are our Hometown Pharmacies toll-free line. They're sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg, and the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop. Your Hometown Pharmacies offer personalized service on a first-name basis. You'll see Terry out at Shade Mountain Pharmacy on Route 35 in Mount Pleasant Mills, centrally located out in the middle of nowhere. Tyler out at Trutz Pharmacy on Walnut Street on Route 45 in Mifflinburg. Steve at the Norrie Pharmacy, which is Duke Street, Route 147 in North Emily, which incidentally is wide open despite the fact the detour signs are there. Just go right around them, and you can go right to the Norrie Pharmacy. The head pharmacist is Jennifer up at the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop at the Market Street Plaza in Bloomsburg. And Brad's at the Lewisburg Pharmacy on 2nd Street in Lewisburg. Some of these pharmacies offer delivery. Some have drug take-back boxes, but they all have one thing in common. Soup. For service, they take good care of you like never before and make sure that you are enjoying an opportunity for real customer service. It's not an add-on. It's not something that, you know, one person might do at a big box, but another one couldn't care less about. No, this is the whole operation, the whole mission of the company. Yeah, if they make a profit, that works out okay, too, but their main goal is just super serve their customers and take good care of their employees and serve the local community. So Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Trutz Pharmacy, Norrie Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Lewisburg Pharmacy are there advocating for you and making sure that you are a happy camper. You can email us throughout our On the Mark show, as EB has done. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com. You can also text us at 70236.
Thank you for that info.
Yeah, we've been using Text Connect lately.
A little slow on the numbers, but go ahead.
That's it.
All right, so yesterday the Mueller report came back into widespread discussion after Mr. Mueller took to the airwaves to give about an 8 or 9 minute presentation.
Clarify.
Yeah, I think he probably created more questions than he solved. But he did say he was going home, and that's good. At least there won't be any new
Mueller
reports.
Well, he said
he's
not going to testify.
Well, I think he's saying that his report speaks for itself, but it's interesting. The guy writes a 500-page report and says, read the report. But, you know, now it looks like he, at least in part, was suggesting that Congress should take up the issue of whether or not the president obstructed justice. But here's what bothers me.
I don't think he suggested it. I think he gave them a mandate.
Well, I don't know that he gave them a mandate. He just said, we can't. Would you want to be investigated? Let's say you were investigated for some crime, and there was no evidence or not enough evidence to show that you did it. You know, and then the investigation was complete and the investigator went home. Would you want somebody else opening up an investigation to try and, you know, alter the facts or change something?
No, criminals generally don't like investigation.
Well, probably not. Well, would you like to be investigated?
No, you'd find something.
Even if you committed no crime?
Right. If you went out to my truck, you'd probably find something wrong with it.
I think what you're doing to those bees is terrible.
They're captured.
They're captured. You're holding them hostage in your backyard, and you're stealing the products, the produce they produce.
So, I mean, slave bees.
Right. You have slave bees in your backyard.
I have worker bees.
But I look at it this way. I mean, if the Congress wants to take up the issue, if the House of Representatives wants to take up the issue about whether or not the president lied, and whether or not he committed impeachable offenses, fine. But what bothers me is nobody here is saying, okay, the main thing that came out of this is that Mr. Mueller concluded the Russians made a serious attempt to interfere with our election process. What are we doing to stop it? I don't hear anybody talking about legislation or, you know, getting a blue ribbon panel to look into this and how we prevent it or stop it. All they're focused on is let's impeach the president, and the president saying, don't impeach me.
Well, you don't have to worry. No, Facebook said they wouldn't allow it next time.
Well, now Nancy Pelosi is upset with, Facebook or YouTube for that
Facebook.
Video, her Facebook of her. I don't think Facebook is going to be the bulwark of our society.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe I'm reading too much. No, I'm just harassing
you. Want to place your faith in Facebook, you go right ahead.
Yeah, where is she? I just saw her here. Feel
yeah, I saw
here.
The story you sent.
There we go. Facebook has so far not responded to criticism by the House Speaker Nancy Pelosi that she levied against the social networking site. She has ripped the site for not removing a doctored video that has spread widely online, one in which she appears to slur her words. The video had been slowed down, giving false appearance that Pelosi was drunk, ill, or otherwise impaired. Last week on CNN, a Facebook executive defended the company's decision to let the video remain, noting that users were told the video is false when they view or share it. Did you ever see the... Oh, we have a call coming in. Did you notice that when you saw the video?
I never saw the video.
I never saw a disclaimer either.
I didn't look it up either, to be honest with you. I mean, yeah, that's parody. You know, I didn't find that she was outraged over Saturday Night Live doing some of the skits they did about President Trump.
I didn't have to look it up. One of my good conservative friends sent it to me, and so I clicked on it.
Well, my good conservative friends didn't send it to me, so...
Well, I don't have good conservative friends. They're
one of
bad.
Mine, chopped liver?
Okay. Well, yeah, good point. But I think the ones that I have are a little over the top.
Well, let's face it. The president has certainly put himself, to some extent, in this position, in this pickle, if you will. But, I mean, to me, the main thing is, what are we going to do? What actions are we taking? What steps are we taking to prevent the Russians or anyone else from interfering with our elections going forward?
I have not heard about too much. I know the Russian hacking has prompted the paper trail conversation in the U.S. because we know the Russians did try to break into Pennsylvania's election machines. But the beauty of Pennsylvania's election machines is they're not internet dependent.
Right.
You know, each stands alone, and then at the end of the day, day, you take the actual machine to the courthouse. And so that, of course, it might sound somewhat archaic, but I'll tell you what, it works. It doesn't require the internet in order to operate. And so that defended Pennsylvania's machines. Now we need the paper trail. You know, it's funny, Vinnie Clausi, some folks love him, some folks didn't like him, but he yelled loud that we have to, in Northumberland County, buy machines that have a paper trail, and he was overruled, voted down on that topic, and now we have machines that don't have it, and guess what we have to buy again?
Machines that have a paper trail.
Right.
Well, and that makes sense.
So, all the way back to where we began this conversation, Robert Mueller's remarks yesterday. We have another call coming in. Robert Mueller's remarks yesterday are worthy of note. I think he really hands it off to the Democrats, or to anybody who wants to investigate. It could be a Republican, too. And says, okay, now is your opportunity to investigate. If you're going to, it has to come from the Congress. It can't come from him. This idea of just suggesting that's a charge, but then there's no trial. This idea of him pointing out that there's a criminal offense is against the State Department rules.
No, not the State Department, the Justice Department.
Oh, thank you.
He said, he used the term unconstitutional. I don't know that it's unconstitutional.
Well, yeah, I was just going to ask you about that.
No, I don't think
where in the Constitution does it say you can't
indict
a sitting
president? Unless it's unconstitutional to violate a law enacted by Congress. But, I mean, it was something done back in the days after Ken Starr, I think. But it's interesting, you know, Ken Starr used the word in the Clinton investigation, guilty, 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 something like seven times. Mueller has not used the word guilty in his assessment of President Trump at all.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, he's gone quite the opposite direction, saying we couldn't prove it. So if he couldn't prove it, you know, is it worthwhile starting another investigation if after, 2 years, $50, $25, $30 million, 500 interviews, if he couldn't come up with concrete evidence that the president committed obstruction of justice, enough so that he felt comfortable saying, you know, that this was a problem. Even if he couldn't indict him, he could have said, this is a problem.
Right. He has not been exonerated. And I think that's the thread that people hold on to, is that that since there is that reasonable suspicion, or there is a suspicion that, you know, he was involved in this foreknowledge of the Russians' interference, which makes perfect sense, but it's all circumstantial. So, you know, I don't know. I just wonder what it is that congressional investigators are going to find. You know, do they already know that there's something that hasn't been uncovered by their Mueller report?
I think that's why they want the underlying evidence, because they're saying they want the full Mueller report, unredacted, and they want the underlying and supportive evidence. So, in other words, they're going to reopen the investigation. But here's what's interesting. They don't want the Republicans investigating how the whole thing got started. They're all in favor of investigations as long as it's focused on the president, but they don't want to get the full story out. I think if we're going to keep on investigating, let's investigate everything. Let's investigate the Steele dossier, where it came from. Let's investigate the FISA warrants and whether or not they lied to the FISA court. Let's look at the whole thing. And if the chips fall and the president gets impeached and a couple of high-ranking senators go to jail, fine. But let's look at the whole thing, not just part of it.
1-800-795-9565. The president's wary about releasing the full report to Congress because they will immediately leak it. So 1-800-795-9565. We're going to take a quickie break. When we come back, we got a caller standing by to talk about Pennsylvania's voting machines, which most of which in Pennsylvania do not leave a paper trail. So there's a security issue there. We can talk about the texts. Stan is back. He's been under the weather or something, or working like a dog probably. So he sent us some texts, so we're going to read those. But we'll take more comers. 1-800-795-9565 is the Hometown Pharmacy toll-free line. You can email us at onthemark@wdkok.com.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC Way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Today's business doesn't stay in one place, so why should you? Introducing Pentella Data's cloud-based business voice services. Now everyone's connected with unlimited calling, conferencing, and mobile synergy, along with easy upgrades and 24/7 support, so your office is everywhere you are. How you handle it is up to you. Cloud-based voice service from the same people you already trust for all your data needs. Pentella Data. Call or click to find out more.
My son Aiden has asthma. Secondhand smoke has triggered his asthma so badly, he ended up in the emergency room and spent multiple nights in intensive care. Now he's on a whole bunch of medications. My tip to you is, don't be shy about telling people not to smoke around your kids.
Half of U.S. kids are exposed to secondhand smoke. If you or someone you know wants help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and CDC.
Ford Pass. Everything you need to keep moving right in the palm of your hand. Now you can earn points to use toward flexible complimentary maintenance when you buy or lease a new Ford and sign up for rewards. Plus, use the app to access roadside assistance. You'll even earn exclusive Ford Pass rewards just for maintaining your vehicle. Only Ford Pass combines roadside assistance, Ford Pass rewards, and now when you buy or lease a new Ford, earn points you can use toward flexible complimentary maintenance. Ford Pass, built to keep you moving. Built Ford proud. Visit your participating Ford dealership to find out about how you can earn complimentary maintenance on every new Ford.
Roadside assistance is included for certain Ford owners and available to everyone for a per-service fee. Ford reserves the right to change program details without obligations. Visit your participating dealer or FordPassRewards.com for program rules and restrictions. Ford Pass, compatible with select smartphone platforms, is available via a download.
Hi, everybody. Steve Jones. Phillies and Cardinals coming up today. We're back tomorrow, 3 to 5, News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the mark, the screen is your Oyster Joe. You select which you wish to do first.
Well, we should. DB was our first responder this morning, and he says the following. Here, I can move it over so I can see it all. Well, what do you know? Robert Mueller spoke publicly yesterday, and it wasn't necessarily good news for Trump. Those claiming that Mueller's report completely exonerated Trump were proven wrong. He did not say there was no collusion with Russia. He said there was insufficient evidence to prove a larger conspiracy. This presumably means there was some evidence, but more damaging was the part where he said, if we had confidence that the president clearly did not commit a crime, we would have said that. And of course, Mueller and his team did not say that. I know the Trump Kool-Aid is powerful stuff, but can conservatives finally admit that the whole no collusion obstruction refrain is baloney? Can we all agree that every patriotic American should be concerned about what has happened here? No. Didn't think so.
Yes. You never hear them yelling at the rallies. Insufficient evidence! Insufficient evidence! Bobby, you're on the mark.
Yes, good morning, everyone. You know, concerning the voting process and voting machines, of course, in the old days, everything was done through paper ballots. But still, when you go to your polls to vote, you have to sign. And then, of course, they instruct you, you know, how to use the machines. And then at that point, okay, everything is tallied almost immediately as far as how many showed up and all that sort of thing. But yet to have a paper trail not be a bad idea, or at least a total count, because that way there'd be more of accountability for the individual precincts.
But they do get a total count. That's how we determine who won.
Yes, yes.
But there's no paper trail anymore.
But as far as anybody contesting the election, I don't know. I mean, you have write-in candidates, and you also, you know, to get on the ballot for any office, you have to have so many signatures. So there's a process that's supposed to be done.
Right.
But whether the accountability factor is, I mean, or, you know, I agree with Joe, right? Everything is tallied right then and there. But I guess the judge of elections, okay, I guess they have to sign something. I don't know.
Yes, they do. They sign it. They check it and verify it, but there's no paper trail. In other words, when you vote in Northumberland County, you click on the little device, and it keeps accurate track of your votes. There's no argument there, and then they total them up at the end of the day. But there's no paper ballot, like you described the old days, where you actually had a physical paper ballot, and you checked it off with a pencil. They could always go back and grab that piece of paper and look at it again and recount it, you know, sort of like they did in Florida with the hanging chads. You know, even with the computer punch cards, you could still go back and touch the computer punch card and see what was checked on it. So that would have worked. All right. Thank you, Bobby. Mike, you're next up. You're on the mark.
Yeah, I have one or two things to say about Robert Mueller yesterday, and then I'd like to talk about voting if possible. But anyway, I would have to say that it's my belief that no reasonable prosecutor would have recommended that Robert Mueller make the statement that he made yesterday. I think it was uncalled for, unprofessional, and there's even lawyers that I have read say that he should be disbarred for what he did yesterday. So I think it was over the top.
Which statement are you talking about, Mike? Which statement are you talking about?
Well, the fact that he went out and spoke publicly, and then the big thing that the mainstream media is hanging on, that there was no evidence, not enough evidence to clear him, or whatever that phrase was. You know, it was like he was trying to prove a negative by stating the negative. It just rang hollow. To me, he sounded nervous. He sounded like this was something that he really didn't want to do, that maybe he was being pressured to do, and the whole thing stunk. You know, that's really the only thing I want to say about what Mueller said yesterday. I think it was inappropriate. I think it was wrong of him to do. And if the Democrats want to come out and say that Mueller saying that Trump was guilty, well, then Mueller said, I wrote the report. That was my conclusions, and the report is the report. I'm not going to say any more about it. So if they're saying that he said that Trump committed a crime, well, then Congress better do something about that.
Well, that's their marching order, so I thought that's what he handed out yesterday was the order that they continue to investigate and find something and go after him. All right, what's your point about voting?
Okay, I'm going to preface this statement with, this statement about voting with, I believe Donald Trump and the Trump administration is America's last chance for democracy and for this country to be a viable world leader. And the reason I'm saying that is if you look at some of the trends that are happening around the country, and I'll start with California. California issued a rule saying that everybody has to get a new driver's license. And part of that new driver's license was you were mandatorily registered to vote. And when you're registered to vote, getting a new driver's license, they will send you a ballot to vote in the election. And the people, the powers to be in the parties, they have the capabilities of seeing who has the ballot and who they are, where they live, and then they can do a little bit of research and find out who is likely to vote Democrat. So what the Democrats did in the last election was they followed up with these ballots that were sent out, and some people received multiple ballots, and they followed up with these people and found out whether they actually mailed them in. And if they didn't mail them in, they actually went to pick the ballots up. Now, to me, you're handing your ballots over to people that say they're going to turn them in. Conversely, they could find out, Republicans, and find out if they didn't mail their ballots in, and they could pick them up, and they could likely throw them away if they wanted to. So to me, having all these laws that govern voting differently in different states, I'm not saying one size fits all, but in California, which we all know, as California goes, so goes the nation, when you have ballots just floating around, it's a very bad thing. And on election night, Republicans were leading in 7 close races. A month later, when they got their hands on all these ballots that were floating around, guess how many of those elections Republicans actually won? None.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, all right.
So to me, we're in dangerous times, and what happened yesterday with Robert Mueller was a sign of the dangerous times we're in. Let's face it. If a political process, when they try to impeach a president, But if we try to politically remove this president because of something Robert Mueller said they couldn't prove that he did, that's a fallacy in my mind.
Well, they'll need more evidence than that. All right, thank you so much, Mike. Thanks for calling in. Cindy, next up, go right ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. I don't know if you saw the Daily Item this morning, but I was reading an article on page A2, a $3.5 million settlement that a pharma company is paying the U.S. Attorney General's office. Guess why? Well, they paid kickbacks to dermatologists to prescribe their medicine. Now, what were these kickbacks? Well, between 2012 and 2017, this drug company and its representatives and other employees gave doctors meals, entertainment, trips, and other gifts.
Things perfectly legal.
Does this sound at all familiar to you, Mark? Vaguely familiar to you in any way, shape, or form.
Yes, these are the permissible items for Pennsylvania legislators. If you wish to give them a bribe or kickback, you do so. The legislators do not need to report it. Many of them do voluntarily. But if you do it, if you're big pharma and you give it to who?
A physician. That's a crime.
Okay, that's a crime.
But if you're a lobbyist and you give it to a legislator, that's ducky. Well, what is wrong with that, ladies and gentlemen?
Well, I think it's just limited to dermatologists. I've been in a doctor's office where the drug rep comes in, he brings food for everybody and gets a few minutes to talk to the doctor. I mean, it's all...
Yeah, the industry's
a
little out of
work. Let's just review here. The U.S. Attorney General has taken to task this drug company for what he called, what they defined as kickbacks, bribes, to the doctors to motivate them to prescribe this medication, right? And it's the same list of things that our legislators routinely accept from lobbyists.
Right.
Meals, entertainment, trips, and other gifts. I can only imagine what the other gifts were.
Yeah, I don't know. Bottles of wine or something?
I can only imagine.
Well, it could get worse than that.
Trips up to the...
How can it be criminal for them to do this, for a drug company to bribe doctors, but it's not criminal if that same drug company bribed the legislature?
It's because the doctors don't make the rules, but the state legislators do.
Ah, therein lies the rub.
You can bet if the doctors were making the rules, it would be perfectly legal.
Well, this is my problem about what's gone on with politics. We are obsessing about something in this country that cannot be changed. But while this is going on, people are obsessing about this. While it's going on, all of this criminality is being overlooked among, we're far more impacted by our state and local representatives than we are what goes on in D.C. The truth is. And so we're tolerating what has been defined as criminal behavior by one group of people. We're tolerating that behavior out of our own elected officials.
But we get all the time, we get this argument that the health issue should be between the doctor and the patient. We get it with the abortion issue. We get it with this issue. How many times, though, might the doctor be taking some sort of emolument, if you will, from someone to choose that particular course of action? We don't know.
Right. Well, it behooves the patient, and I know you don't believe this, Joe. You believe we should defer to the physicians. It behooves us to be informed patients and make better decisions about our care. But the irony of this story just blows me away. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Well said. We appreciate the call. We'll have open phones during the 9 a.m. hour. We'll finish up our conversation about the Mueller report.
We have quite a few texts to answer here.
Two texts, but he's got busy thumbs, so we'll read those on the radio. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. WKOK News Time, 9 o'clock.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence, and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome aboard the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Mr. Joe is across from me. Rob Centers, our fabulous producer, on the Mark sponsor of the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. That toll-free line sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy in Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. You can email us at onthemarket@wkok.com or text us at 70236. All right, I'll play your silly game. What are you doing?
I've lost something. I'm trying to find it.
Well, your phone is there. I just heard it.
Yes. Keep going.
Oh, there it is. I see it now. Your wallet? Your keys?
No. Keep going.
Okay. Joe's lost something, all right. There's no argument about that. In the news today, a second day of strong storms caused heavy damage across the valley, including some from a possible tornado in the Mifflinburg area. According to the Mifflinburg Hose Company Facebook page, heavy storm damage was reported on Route 192 in the Forest Hill or rural Mifflinburg area. The damage stretched all the way to the RB Winter State Park and Halfway Dam area and in a circular region in that part of the valley. Central Susquehanna Regional 911 tells us damage was first reported around 4:45 p.m. on Route 192, and Route 192 was closed until around midnight. PPL crews are still on the scene. There's still a power outage there. There's still scattered power outages around the valley caused by the strong storms yesterday. Another storm affected Lower Northumberland County as well. Again, about 500 people in the valley total without power right now. Second day in a row for tornadoes to actually touch down in Pennsylvania. What should you do if you think a tornado is coming?
Radio PA meteorologist John Weatherby says a big area of high pressure over the southeastern U.S. is to blame for the severe weather that's impacted Pennsylvania and other parts of the country in recent days. Weatherby says whenever severe weather is in the forecast, it's important to be weather alert.
Make sure you have a way that you can get weather alerts from the National Weather Service on your phone, on your computer, or with a weather radio. That's real easy to do. And that way you're ready and prepared if any severe weather happens to come in your direction.
In the event of a tornado, Weatherby says get to the lowest level of your home, either the basement or an interior room on the first floor, to protect yourself from flying debris. Mark Sims, News Radio 1070 WKOK.
An Amtrak train from New York to Pittsburgh had to wait while trees were cleared from the tracks in the Lewistown area. That was several hours of delay. Yesterday, National Weather Service says there were, in fact, tornadoes in three counties the day before. On Tuesday, Indiana, Bradford, and Berks County all had tornadoes on Tuesday of this week. Selinsgrove Grove and Danville schools yesterday dismissed early in order to try to get ahead of the storm. Facebook, as we mentioned, so far not responding to criticism by the House Speaker Nancy Pelosi that she levied against the social networking site. She ripped the site for not removing that doctored video. Let's see. And one other item. Hillary Clinton has assailed President Donald Trump at a commencement speech, saying he ignored the special counsel's findings on Russian attempts to interfere in the 2016 election. The Democrat who lost to Trump addressed Hunter College graduates yesterday at Madison Square Garden in New York. She spoke hours after Robert Mueller made his first public comments about his investigation into the election meddling. In her speech, Clinton said, quote, "What we've seen from the administration is a complete refusal to condemn a foreign power who attacked our democracy," unquote. Trump has said that the Russian President Vladimir Putin has denied the interference. Well, if Putin denies it, it must be true what he says. Clinton has also condemned the administration for supporting policies that she said amounted to an assault on the rule of law. She cited a ban on travel to the U.S. by citizens of several Muslim-majority nations and separating children from their parents at border crossings. We got a call coming in. We got some texts. I'll read some of these texts. It says...
I got them.
You're going to help here?
I got them. Okay, hate to break it to you, Joe, but the Russians, Chinese, and other bad actors have been trying to interfere in our elections since forever, and we have agencies in place to try and stop such interference. The question is, why didn't the Obama administration do something to prevent what they said they knew was happening? By doing nothing, the Obama administration was complicit in that interference. And he says the Dems have access to the complete unredacted Mueller report, yet choose not to avail themselves of that access. I have to assume it's because they have to read it in a secure room at the DOJ and are not able to cherry-pick the unsubstantiated dirt from the grand jury testimony in a public hearing. They can try to violate the law by releasing grand jury testimony. I think that would be a crime.
All right. So those are the texts. We'll take more texts that were sent to 70236. That's the Text Connect system. What you do is you sign up for Text Connect at WKOK.com, and we send you breaking news information, whether it's national or local news, tornadic weather that's on the way, or road closures. For example, we did have some Text Connect messages this week related to tornadic weather. We had a tornado warning that went out on Tuesday afternoon, and when the tornado watch was posted yesterday, we sent that out at around 2:45 p.m. telling folks that the tornado watch had gone up. We didn't get widespread urban damage from tornadic weather, but in the rural area of Union County, there was a possible tornado there. But we had higher winds yesterday, believe it or don't, for most of the area than the day before.
Well, I believe it, because when the storm first came through, I thought it was going to blow down trees in our backyard, but there was just like one big wind gust, and then it went back to being more like normal.
Right. We hardly ever have storm damage in Northumberland at our house, and we did yesterday. I had some branches down that busted the hinge on a back door that it popped open, and so we had that going on. All right, so we are talking about the Mueller report and the Mueller observations yesterday that he offered in remarks. Didn't take questions, but said there's no exoneration in this, and he leaves it wide open for Congress to investigate. And, of course, Nancy Pelosi continues to sort of play the sort of the odd leader out under all of this and say that...
Pick the right word there, odd.
Well, because... most of the Democrats are interested in furthering the concept of investigating that could lead to impeachment. But she's saying, you know, I don't see an impeachable offense here. But, you know, she doesn't micromanage everything her investigating committees do. So that's going to happen.
Well, she's
anyway.
Going to be hard-pressed to keep the Democrats in line because so many of these rebels want to start impeachment. And, you know, what's the point? I don't think there's the Republicans in the Senate are going to vote to convict because there's no unless the Dems will come up with some really substantial evidence that Mueller somehow, after 2 years, $25 million missed, which I doubt.
Well, and there's no political hay in not investigating. If you decide that you want to seek middle ground, search for a compromise, try to do what's best for the nation, you're not going to push for...
You're obviously not talking about our Congress.
Right, right. No, if you were going to sort of do the, you know, this ideal thing of government, you and I talk about the fact that our government's clearly broken and we're accomplishing nothing and wasting trillions of dollars in the process. So if you're going to be trying to be part of the solution, well, they're just going to vote you out. I mean, nobody's going to do that. You won't get support from your party. You know, you'd be sort of the Russ Fairchild of the U.S. Congress, where you do the right thing and vote your conscience, and guess what? It gets you nothing.
Right.
1-800-795-9565. Dan, thanks for calling in. You are on the mark.
Hey, good morning, guys. Well, you were right, Mark. Mueller wanted to let this open-ended, let a question mark there so that the Congress could keep right going on with the impeachment investigation. That's why he said the statements he said to keep on the impeachment. And Mueller is not a Trumper by any means, which many of us said from the beginning. He's a hate Trump person. I don't care if you tell me he's a Boy Scout, he fought whatever he did for his country.
He's a Marine.
Whatever he did, he's not a Trumper, which don't take away from anything, but he hates Trump. So now Mueller ended this. He's not going to appear before Congress. Guess why? He don't want to answer any questions on the dossier. He don't want them darn Republicans that are conservative ask him any hard questions. What about how did this investigation get started? Why did it get started? Who started it? Who paid for the fake dossier?
But that wasn't part of what he was supposed to investigate. All that happened before the special counsel was appointed.
That's all right. That's Russian collusion. That's what this was about. That Trump wasn't the colluder in chief. It was the Clintons were the colluders in chief. And so he would have been asked them questions, you know it, in the Congress. He didn't want to answer anything. He's out of there. He did his dirty deed. Now he left. And that's exactly what
dirty,
he did.
What dirty deed did Bob Mueller do? He conducted an investigation he was charged to conduct. He came out with the results. He said that they found no evidence of a conspiracy between President Trump's campaign and the Russians, and he couldn't say whether or not the president committed obstruction.
You know what, Joe?
Well,
he knew from the get-go there was no collusion between Trump and the Russians. He knew that from the get-go, and every one of us said there's no collusion between Trump and the Russians. Yeah, the Russians interfere with our elections, but it wasn't through Donald Trump. We believe there's Russian interference, and we know part of it was with the fake dossier through the Clintons. This is the opposite of what Mueller come out with, and if they would have put Mueller in the Congress, he'd have been grilled, and he didn't want that. He didn't want no grilling. He didn't want the truth to come out. So he left, and now he left it. What his dirty deed is, he left it open-ended. Yeah, Congress, you go after this undesirable president we have, is what Mueller was saying. That's exactly what he was saying, and he did his dirty work. Yeah, he couldn't find anything on the president collusion or obstruction of justice. He had nothing. But what he could do was say, Congress, you go after Trump. Yeah, you're doing pretty good at this impeachment baloney. You keep going after him. Mm-hmm. And that's what Mueller left open.
Okay.
That's why I say it was a dirty deed, a never Trumper. He had all Republicans under him doing the investigation, all Trump haters, including him.
Oh, that is a myth.
That is not no myth. You got to wake up and smell the coffee someday.
Okay. Yeah, wake up and smell the coffee, Lawrence.
All right, you send me this.
I get tired of people telling me there was no collusion with the Clinton administration to oust Trump. It's so old that, and they, I don't know if they believe their own lie or if they hate Trump that bad and want to get him out. I don't know which it is, or else they want a globalist government, because Trump's the opposite of a globalist government. As your one caller, Mike, I agree with him 100% what he was saying there on this investigation before the break. It's, they want a globalist government. Trump's for a nationalist government, America first, and they want globalization. They want us to be equal with the rest of the world and have nothing.
All right,
and
we got you. Thank you so much.
Okay, you guys have
a
great
take care.
Appreciate the call. 1-800-7. Oops,
I was just going to say, I think the thing that Dan's missing here is that, and one of our texters points out, I'll read his words, exoneration is not the job of any prosecutor. Their job is to charge or to decline to charge for lack of evidence. Mueller couldn't find the evidence, yet he throws that little nugget out there for the Dems to keep on going. Sounds like corruption to me. The first part of that's absolutely correct. It is not the job of a prosecutor or a special investigator to determine, you know, to exonerate someone or convict them. It's just to say we have evidence to suggest a crime and refer the crime to the proper prosecuting authority.
The jury or what have you.
Right, or criminal referment. Mueller sent quite a few referments out of his committee to other...
Referments?
referrals, if you will,
okay,
to other investigative or policing agencies where he did find evidence of a crime. He didn't personally conduct the prosecution or arrest the people. He passed it on to those who have the authority to do so. So if he believes the president committed an act of a criminal nature, and he can't, because of his connection to the Department of Justice, indict a sitting president, then all he can do is refer it to Congress in one way or another. And
which
say,
he did yesterday.
Well, I don't think he made a direct referral. I think there, if I fault him for anything, it's the ambiguity of that. If he if he said, we couldn't find enough evidence, but, you know, we had to call an end to this at some point, but, you know, we couldn't find it, but if you want to keep going, we think there's enough smoke there that there may be some fire. That would be his job.
1-800-795-9565. You've had an opportunity to weigh what Robert Mueller said yesterday in his midday remarks, about 10 minutes worth or so with no questions asked. Give us a call. We're taking some reaction. Now we're going to wrap up this topic. We're going to talk about a young man that got into trouble in Harrisburg, and so we will talking about that shortly. But we'll wrap up our discussion with you included on the Mueller report and then the Mueller remarks and the need to impeach that some people are enjoying these days. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. That's 1-800-795-9565.
Hometown, such a warm and friendly word. A place of comfort, confidence, and friendship. And as the song goes, everybody knows your name. In today's culture of fast food service and big box mentality, it's nice to know that we can still rely on the warm and friendly comfort of Hometown Pharmacy. There's one near you. Friendly, knowledgeable staff that not only know you by name, but know your meds and know what's best for you, right down to the over-the-counter meds for those quick day-in, day-out situations that may arise. Your Hometown Pharmacy. That hometown feel that we all want. Hometown pharmacies, like the Lewisburg Pharmacy, North 2nd Street, Lewisburg. Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Route 35, Mount Pleasant Mills. In Mifflinburg, it's Trutz Pharmacy on Chestnut Street. Bloomsburg, it's the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop on Market Street. And the Norrie Pharmacy, Duke Street, Northumberland. Your hometown is calling you. Your independent hometown pharmacy. Every season, every day.
Welcome back to the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the mark, 1-800-795-9565 is the telephone number. That's the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com. This may be the last word on this topic, and I think that would make this texter very happy.
Right, okay. Our texter says, to whom it may reach, I am so exhausted with federal politicians, both and all parties, not actually doing anything of substance as I can see it. Truly, does it matter at this point what Russia did or did not do, what Trump knew or did not know? For years and years, everyone in office at a presidential level knew more than the average citizen of the USA about world issues. Plus, doesn't international spying keep safety, etc., for everyone? When we discover that a terrorist is about to exercise some fatal plot or a scheme, we don't scream bloody murder. We don't scream bloody murder. Why don't we? Back to my original point. I think it is time for those in office to focus on this country and start earning their salaries. I'm tired of paying taxes to these slackers sitting back watching this stupid show. I'm sick to death of the topic. Fix the roads. Fix health care. Feed the kids. Educate everyone. Start at home. If not, get rid of those in the office and start with new people.
You did a good job raising your voice when she switched to capital letter.
She started screaming, I screamed.
Well, that's a nice email. Thank you very much.
Yeah,
we appreciate
good point.
That.
Very
it's probably
good
the
point.
Longest text we've ever received.
Yeah, well, the other ones come in pieces. This one came through in its entirety.
We like that system.
Yeah, whatever she's doing, she's doing right.
This would have been 20 panels the other way. All right, but it's a fabulous text, and really we alluded to this starting on Tuesday, this idea that we're really being ill-served by our national representatives because they're not doing anything. They're posturing for re-election. They're making sure they do whatever it takes. And is it, you know history pretty well, is this a U.S. tradition that people do nothing in Washington except work on re-election?
Well, Harry Truman, when he ran successfully for president in 1948, ran against the do-nothing Republican Congress. You know, he made it a point, the fact that they weren't doing anything, that he had put out a legislative agenda, and they ignored it because they thought they were going to take control of the White House with Dewey. Didn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I thought Dewey won. I read a newspaper.
Well, yes, the Chicago Tribune said he won, but then they retracted
it. Oh, okay.
But seriously, I mean, that's been a tradition in this country. I guess it started a long time ago that, you know, we're more focused on getting reelected. When it became obvious that people now consider these careers instead of obligations to serve after which you returned home, you know, if it became a career, then it becomes a matter of holding on to your job. Well, this is my career. I got to hold on to my job. I can't lose my job.
Mm-hmm.
But so what do we have? We have a group of people who are entrenched down there. What is it? Something like 98% or 96% of incumbents win re-election no matter what.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a miracle the House ever changes hands or Senate.
And for years, the South sent one guy there. They'd hire him when he was 20 years old and keep him there until he was 95 and tottering out, and they had huge seniority. They did move some rules around to stop that from happening. But really, the point of term limits, I think, is undeniable. We just have too many career politicians who are focused on getting reelected and not on doing their job. And that's both parties. It's not just Democrats. It's not just Republicans. It's everybody.
Is that our fault? That we are the electorate, so we get the government we deserve. Who said that? Probably somebody famous, but that's what you hear. We get the government we deserve. We elect buffoons, and this is what you get. Our president is,
I'm not calling them buffoons. I think that's a little harsh. I think they're... You know, they may want to do the right thing, but, you know, the parties, when the parties get involved, then it becomes a matter of, well, you have to protect the party. We have to do for the good of the party. We need the party to pick up control of the Senate.
Or we'll carve you out of your district. We'll redistrict you out of your district.
Right. So. The one guy who said he thought President Trump should be impeached, the Republican, now they're going to give him an opponent. Olivia Ocasio-Cortez said that she would go after the people who didn't support the Green New Deal or her left-wing agenda. So, you know, the matter, if we don't encourage people to be honest and forthright in Washington. We encourage them to go whichever way the wind's blowing.
Well, and we had very low standards for U.S. Congressman Tom Marino. We expected nothing from him, and he was able to deliver.
He did deliver, yes.
But that's the irony of sending Fred Keller there. Is Fred has high standards for production and reading the bills and voting no and opposed to this. And, you know, up until campaigning with the president a couple weeks ago, I thought he was going to take that independent streak to Washington. Obviously, he's not going to adhere quite as closely to it, but hopefully, maybe some other folks in Washington will see how he operates and, you know, maybe pick that up. And
he's not the first politician to owe somebody a favor. You know, I think that transcends political parties. Look at the people that Obama campaigned for.
1-800-795-9565. Joe and I are lamenting the fact that the vortex has removed the brain matter of individuals in Washington, D.C. who are in governance. 1-800-795-9565. Is this one reason the whole country has lost its way?
Well, I think it's a sad commentary on the state of affairs in this country today, where we're more focused on literally getting our opponents than we are in trying to solve the country's problems. You know, if we put as much effort into trying to solve the border crisis, if we spend as much effort trying to fix health care as we are trying to beat each other over the head and whether or not to impeach the president and calling each other names, I think we'd be better off.
1-800-795-9565. What if we injected a truth serum in the water in Washington? So if everybody had to tell the truth, like even the president couldn't even resort to puffery like last or 2 weeks ago when he said the race between Fred Keller and Mark Friedenberg was a 50-50 toss-up. All right, so that's just puffery. I don't think it's a real lie per se. But let's suppose he had to tell the truth and nothing but the truth. You know, he would have said,
I don't think we hear much from him.
Fred Keller was going to win anyway, but I went to Montoursville on the GOP dime to campaign on his behalf.
So it looks like I really helped him.
Right. Oh, yeah. Now he went over the top. Well, he probably did give him a boost. 1-800-795-9565. Paul, we are trying to inject some truth in the world.
Well, if you're trying to do that, you have to stop asking people for opinion, because opinions is like a cancer and it doesn't do any good, because once a person tells you their opinion, it now becomes a disease to their way of thinking. If you was to look back in history, what was the reason why all the people left England? Why would they want to come to this country to be free? We are no longer the land of the free, because we have so many laws governing what we can and cannot do. So mm-hmm. in order to get to where you want to be, you have to stop voicing your opinions, and that way nobody will know what evil lurks in the minds of man.
But the shadow knows. Yeah, right, the shadow knows.
But that's the whole thing, because even in the military, we talked amongst ourselves, but we didn't never downgrade the orders that were given to us, because we felt that we had to be great or good obedient servants in order to fulfill the order itself. And if we questioned it, then we were punished.
You were in the Army?
No, sir. I was in the Air Force.
Oh, my gosh. Good for you. Thank you for your service.
Birdman.
I was in the National Guards, and then I went from the National Guards to the Air Force.
Good for you. Thank you for your service.
Well, thank you.
All right. Noted, Paul. Thank you very much. Next up, Dale. Last caller before a quickie break. You are on the mark.
All right. Well, what I've been always crying about is accountability. Like, say if I work for PennDOT, should I be able to drive 150 miles an hour? Or, you know, should I be, you know, subject to any laws?
Laws.
Yeah, so I say the Bar Association destroyed our democracy, and they are reaping money from the banks, because that's how they're doing it right now. They're funneling all the money towards the banks, and that's why banks are at the highest profits they've been in 40 years.
So a lot of banks do.
It does. Right now it doesn't matter if you're Democrat or Republican. They're all getting money from the banks.
Just out of idle curiosity, how did the Bar Association destroy our democracy?
Oh, well, that's obvious, Joe. Come on.
Joe, so if I work for PennDOT, should I be able to drive 150 miles an hour?
But what's that got to do with the Bar Association?
The lawyer will get you off if you
PennDOT
do.
Well, PennDOT controls the speed limit and laws of the state, correct?
No, the legislature controls the laws. PennDOT makes recommendations that have to be enacted by the legislature.
Yeah, you're just trying to stick up for the Bar Association. You know,
Joe,
democracy.
Joe's
okay,
an apologist for PennDOT.
Yeah,
and the Bar Association, apparently.
Yeah, it's called working for someone else's back, working off someone else's hard labor. That's the way they've been working, and it's continued to happen, and it's just accountability.
Accountability. So
you're seeing it every day on
TV,
where the Bar Association mocking your intelligence, where they control the media and what you should think and all like that. That's why, you know, they stole your free will. There's no more democracy. Everybody's freedoms and liberties are gone. They're programming you. So that's all I have to say.
Okay. All right, we got you. Well, we appreciate you saying that.
Not certain I agree with you about the Bar Association destroying our democracy.
That's obvious to everybody else, though. 1-800-795-9.
What have I missed?
1-800-795-9565.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Oh, welcome back to On the Mark. I'm Joe McGranahan, along with Mark Lawrence. 1-800-795-9565. That's our toll-free hotline number, brought to you by the Hometown Pharmacies. Our entire program brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company. Feel free to email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. Here's an interesting story out of Harrisburg, and I'd be interested in hearing your take on it. It's a sad story. This is a story by Matt Miller from Penn Live today. He said the parents of a 15-year-old Harrisburg boy who was killed when the stolen car he was driving crashed into a tree during a chase by city police has filed a federal lawsuit against the city. Waleska Santiago and Jamie Winston claim the pursuit that killed their son, Kobe Santiago, in November was, quote, reckless, dangerous, and unreasonable, and should not even have been initiated by an officer. By doing so, the police violated Kobe's constitutional rights against unlawful search and seizure and deprived him of due process of law and ensured he suffered, quote, a painful death, unquote. The parents contend in the U.S. Middle District Court complaint. An attempt to obtain comment on the suit from the city solicitor in Harrisburg was not immediately successful. Kobe was one of three teens in the stolen car when it crashed at 25th and Brookwood Streets on November 25th. One boy was critically injured, and the third suffered less severe injuries. Police have said the officer involved in the chase ended the pursuit about a block and a half before the fatal crash occurred. They said the stolen car hit a dip in the road and went airborne before slamming into a tree.
All right, so police were chasing him, so their alleged culpability comes in the fact that they could have broken off the chase. Did they know who it was? That's always one question that pops up.
Well, they say it violated a, what are the word they used here? Is it's an odd word, but like an unofficial, oh, here it is, yeah. In their suit, Kobe's parents claim the pursuit violated a clandestine city police policy that bars officers from engaging in chases in cases that don't involve forcible felonies such as robberies or assaults. Through sources, Penn Live confirms such a policy does exist. The parents, represented by a Harrisburg attorney, claim the police had no reason to believe the teens in the stolen car had committed a violent crime. Police identified Kobe as the driver. The pursuit began after the owner of the car, which was stolen on Thanksgiving Day, spotted it and called police. An officer tried to pull the car over, but Kobe refused to stop. City Police Commissioner Thomas Carter said soon after the incident that the pursuit was mostly low speed, covered about a mile, and lasted roughly 4 minutes. So, should the parents prevail in a lawsuit?
What's the policy again? A clandestine policy? What does that mean?
Well, I guess it means it's not written down. It's kind of like an unwritten rule.
Okay.
Or maybe it was passed down orally from the chief of police or Chief Carter.
And police tell Penn Live that's true. They do have a policy not to chase
vehicles like that,
where no felony is.
Right, where they're not sure if there was a felony or some underlying violent crime.
Well, car theft is a felony, isn't it?
Yeah, a violent crime, I think what they're talking about.
Oh, I see. Okay, but not a regular felony.
Let me read it to you again. It says, in their suit, Kobe's parents claim the pursuit violated a clandestine city police policy that bars officers from engaging in chases in cases that don't involve forcible felonies, such as robberies or assaults.
Okay. All right. So we don't know that that happened. It's just a stolen car, I guess.
But they're claiming that in the lawsuit that it's violating his Fourth Amendment rights against unreasonable search and seizure. Why is it unreasonable to stop and search or stop a vehicle that you know is stolen? The owner has said that my car was stolen. He reported it to police. He saw the car being driven around by these kids, and he reported it to the police.
It must be the traffic stop.
But the officer did break it off. He broke off the chase.
Right. So, but I mean, it must have been all the way back at the very beginning, before he fled the scene, you know, before he fled the traffic stop and then led the pursuit. The search and seizure violation must be before then. You know, this idea of stopping the car that you think is stolen must be the dilemma.
No, they're saying that his parents are saying that the pursuit was reckless, dangerous, and unreasonable and should not have been initiated by the officer. By doing so, the police violated Kobe's constitutional rights against unlawful search and seizure and deprived him of due process of law and ensured he suffered a painful death. Well, none of those things were predictable. Had he actually stopped the car when the police showed up behind him and turned on their lights and siren, had he chose not to run from them, yes, he certainly would have been in some trouble, but he wouldn't be dead. Mm-hmm. How is that the police department's fault, just out of curiosity?
Well, this popped up in the past. We had Point Township chased a motorcyclist one time who was a teenager, but they knew who it was, but gave pursuit anyway, and the motorcyclist crashed, and I believe the young man died, and that was at the conclusion, well, that concluded the pursuit, but police already knew who it was, so, you know, the lawsuit that was eventually settled said that they would, they should have broken it off since they knew who it was, and no significant,
but
other than
wasn't
chasing.
Stolen.
Right. I think there was a helmet violation or something else. There was some minor violation.
Well, here it was a stolen car. It was occupied times three. The officer would have seen that. He would have no way of knowing that they weren't engaged in, you know, they're in a stolen car. Is it unreasonable to assume that they might be involved in other criminal activity?
No, but I don't think you can assume that. But I don't think that's necessary to
Why can't you
provide
assume that?
Pursuit. Just because you see people in a stolen car, you can't, and they're probably black, so that contributes to it. So you can't say that, well, they're automatically, they must be felons. I don't think that holds up. But I do think police chase stolen cars. I think the clandestine policy, you know, this officer might have broken this clandestine policy, but the policy's unwritten for a reason, because it isn't right. It's not verifiable, or it's not it's not a rule that should be written down and adhered to.
Well, many departments have a similar policy that if you don't know there was a violent crime involved, you should not chase the person. You know, if all you have is traffic violations, in effect, I think that's it. If all you have is traffic violations, they ran a red light, blew a stop sign, you don't chase them for that and endanger people.
Because of the
but
danger.
But here, it was a stolen car. But, you know, in the suit that they filed, they say, and this again is from Matt Miller's story from Penn Live this morning, it is widely recognized that vehicular pursuits carry a substantial risk of injury and or death. The police, it adds, were not acting in a highly pressurized situation because there was no cause to believe Kobe either committed or attempted to commit a violent felony or that he was in possession of a deadly weapon. Now, that's true. But, you know, he was driving in a stolen vehicle and he ignored police attempts to stop him and pull him over in a peaceable manner. So what responsibility does the kid have? Yes, a kid, he made a bad decision. How old was he? 15 years old. He shouldn't have been driving in the first place.
Yeah, so most of the blame falls on the kid, who has no assets or anything to gain from this, but some small percentage falls on the police, and that's what probably the parents are advocating anyway, saying that some of the responsibilities the police departments read the text, and then we'll take the call.
Now, one of our texters says, wow, parents that didn't teach their kid not to steal want to blame cops because he died. Maybe they should apologize to the owners of the car and the cop for endangering the cops' lives because of their son's criminal act.
Dan, you're on the mark. You get another minute.
Hey, good morning, White. I'm not much in favor of these hot pursuits unless it's truly a life and death issue, because they result in innocent people being killed in the pursuit. So it should be very limited, not in cases like this in Harrisburg.
Well, let me ask you a question, Dan. Let me ask you a question. If we adopt your policy, why would anyone ever stop for a police officer? I'd just floor it and know the cop isn't going to chase me, and I'd go on my merry way.
Well, I'll tell you what, Joe. Every time I had it, it's been a long time that I've been stopped, but I was stopped out of town here once, and as soon as I saw them flashing lights, and I found a convenient place I pulled over. So I don't think many people would try to flee. And if you try to flee, yeah, you're going to speed up and you're going to kill other people. And it serves no purpose.
Yeah, but it does serve a perfect purpose to get away. If you know for a fact
the
police
were guilty party,
but
meanwhile innocent people could be killed, and lots of times are.
Right.
And that's why I'm not much in favor of life and death issues. Carrying a shotgun or a drive-by shooting, then I say hot pursuit.
All right.
But not in a weak case like this, where a couple teenagers Crystal. I know of cases like that, and I thank the Lord there wasn't hot pursuit for them. They turned themselves in my youth. Not me, but youth I knew that did that sort of thing. So I don't think it serves much of a purpose, and I'm not in favor much of a hot pursuit.
All right, we got you.
So
about
you guys
thank
have
you.
A great one to
thank
get.
Thank you. All right, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We'll take a quickie break. We will be right back.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. 1-800-795-9565. Dick, you are on the mark. Thanks for calling in. It is an open phones Thursday, Joe's last day of his retirement shortened work week. So go right ahead.
Well, I wanted to... You there?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to get this in a hurry. You know, I sent the email the other day about the president's talk on Memorial Day in Japan, which I personally... I might be the only person in the whole world that felt kind of it was out of place to me. You let it go at that, but then again, to try and hide a destroyer, the USS John McCain, literally, so the president's not offended if he sees the name on a ship, that to me is just beyond the pale. I'm sorry.
Well, and they gave the soldiers the day off, or the sailors the day off that day.
Well, they're sailors, not soldiers. But that's not my point. Is to cover up the banner, cover up the name. Sailors wear the names of their ship, the vessel, on their hats. They weren't allowed to do that. I just can't believe that this man is that thin-skinned that he would be upset about that.
Well,
I'm not even telling you that he was responsible for it. But for somebody in that White House to think that they don't want this to happen is beyond. That's just beyond my. Beyond my comprehension. These people have enlisted in the United States military, in this case the Navy, to defend this country, and then to almost kick him in the butt and say, get out of here.
Well, it's the president said he knew nothing about that.
And they said the Secretary of Defense.
Can I just say that I'm not sure who was responsible, but it didn't come down from the admiral and the 7th Fleet, or the whatever the fleet is over there. Somebody made that decision.
Gotcha.
Somebody made that decision and passed it along, and it came out of the White House, and Mary Ann saying, somebody in the White House did this.
All right. Gotcha. Thank you so much.
There was a story, though, that I saw this morning said the name was covered from some work that was being done on Friday, but by Saturday they had taken the tarp off and the name was there and the ship was in its proper position.
And also the sailors from that ship weren't allowed to go to the speech that he gave on the WASP or whatever USS WASP. I just think it's just...
Yeah, it's
you know, I just think it's beyond my comprehension that the man is that thin-skinned about somebody that served the United States. He just hates McCain that much that they think he would be that offended. I'm sorry. I just got issues with this whole thing.
No.
All right. We do, too. Thank you so much, Dick. Appreciate the call. On the Mark is brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street, Sunbury, routes 11 and 15, Hummelsworth. Find out tons more about them at sunburymotors.com. They invite you to visit the Quick Lane on North 4th Street in Sunbury. Sorry about this. They specialize in all types of service on vehicles, state inspections, nitrogen for tires. They're open Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Saturday, 6:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. You can find them on the web at sunburymotors.com. Check out online specials. Build a Ford, Hyundai, Kia, or Lincoln to your precise specifications. If you don't find what you need online, they're a premier service provider at the Quick Lane for all makes of cars and trucks. They're a master towing service with decades of damage-free experience. And we haven't been to the Sunbury Motor Company with the Ford Edge that belongs to the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation in almost 8 hours. So it's time for inspection. and checkup and so on. So that's what's happening with that vehicle. So we invite you to check out the Sunbury Motor Company, sunburymotors.com. Cindy, you get a minute on the radio. Go right ahead.
I just want to say, Joe, I think that story is just ridiculous. The parents' suit is preposterous, and I believe that they're simply trying to profit by suing a municipality. It's just ridiculous. And that a lawyer picked this up and is running with this. I just hope that the judge just dismisses this outright.
I don't know whether he will or not in today's world, but, you know, I agree with you. I think it's absolutely insane. I mean, the police didn't do anything wrong. The city of Harrisburg didn't do anything wrong. The only person at fault here was the people who stole the car, the people who were driving a stolen vehicle, and an underage driver at that. It's a tragedy.
And you said that he backed off of this following these kids, and that's when the accident happened, after that.
Right, after he backed off.
It's just ridiculous. It is ridiculous to be suing the city over this. And they're just hoping for a settlement. You know, they're just trying to make some money off the death of this kid and the other kid being injured. And that's disgusting as far as I'm concerned.
All right. Thank you so much.
Yep. Have a great one.
Appreciate the call.
You. Well, the sad fact is that they'll probably get some money just because of the nuisance value of the lawsuit.
Right. Well, yeah, they'll settle rather than go to trial with all of this.
The insurance carrier, you might think, would do that. But, I mean,
a judge can throw it out, though, if he says there's just nothing there.
Well, I mean, I honestly don't think there is anything there. If the police were actively pursuing him at the time of the crash, then maybe there would be. But the police officer broke it off. About a couple of blocks later, he had the wreck. He obviously was, you know, bound and determined he was going to get away from that police officer. Didn't want to go to jail, didn't want to face the consequences of his actions.
Well, and the police probably don't, or the city probably doesn't want a trial, so...
Well, but, you know, I agree with the concept that high-speed pursuits are difficult decisions to make. Police have to make them on a moment's notice, you know, and they, by and large, have good judgment when it comes to that. But here, I don't think the police did anything wrong. The city of Harrisburg certainly did nothing wrong. You know, the guilt, if there is any, lies with the people who didn't stop when the police told them to stop.
Just that young man.
Yep.
Hey, enjoy your retirement lengthened week and the rest of your Decoration Day observance today. Thank you so much, Joe.
Right, sir. We'll see you on Monday.
All right. We'll talk then. It'll be next month by then, so I don't get to see you till next month. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WDKOK, Sunbury, 10 a.m.